On this episode of the Endurance Hour, balance and flexibility exercises, core strength, strength and power training, and how does kinesio tape really work? That's coming up next on the Endurance Hour podcast. Great to have you back for episode 146 of the Endurance Hour podcast. I'm Dave Erickson. Thanks for listening. Hope you're having a great week at training, or maybe you're preparing for your next race. I guess that's the beauty of a podcast. You can listen to them whenever you want. So maybe you're coming back to this episode later in the year, and now you're getting ready to race. So whatever it is, thanks for listening. Hope you're having a good day, whether you're about to go for a run or you're on your run, you're on your trainer, which I know I'll be here if I haven't already, coming up soon. So this themed show, we've got four different guests on this program, and our theme is, I guess, working on different aspects of your overall body composition, your overall strength. Wendy Mader from T2Coaching.com is going to talk about balance and flexibility exercises. And one of the things I've used that she has taught me about, or at least enlightened me to, is those Bosu balls. Those are those half-domed blue, like they look like those the exercise balls you might, you know, lean on and do sit-ups on. Well, it's only half a ball, and then the other half is a platform which you can, it's a circle, but then you can hold each side of it and do push-ups on it. You can stand on it for your overall flexibility around your knees, your ankles, your whole core. So she's going to talk about that. Core strength with Greg Gallagher. Greg can be listened to, or actually heard. Greg can be followed on Twitter at speedtheory_USA. Talk about core strength, the value of core strength. Planking is one of those things that involves core strength. This whole show is a themed show. Kelly Philnell talked about power training and strength, what kind of exercises you can do to develop strength and power. Then we wrap it up with kinesio tape, that colorful tape that you've seen volleyball players, runners, athletes of all different backgrounds strap onto their ankles, and for whatever reason they think they need it. Well, after this interview with Dr. Brian Mather, I'm convinced, I'm sold, kinesio tape really does work. So we're going to hear Kinesio 101. That's what's coming up a little bit later at the end of this podcast. Let's go ahead and kick it off right now with Wendy Mader and balance and flexibility exercises. I think you'll like this. And a big welcome back to the Ask Coach Wendy Show. Alongside Wendy Mader, I'm Dave Erickson. Today's topic comes from Jesse, and Jesse says, Wendy, my triathlon off-season has officially begun. My friends say I should start adding balance and flexibility exercises to my weekly routines and workouts. Why and what kind of exercises should I try?
Well, I think when you talk about balance and flexibility, that also equates to doing core stability movements. So you want to work on hip mobility. So you want to make your hips more mobile, which is the stability component. And then in line is that core stability, core meaning hips to shoulders. So why should you do that? You know, like most triathletes, we're used to going forwards and backwards. We're not really used to going sides to sides. And we often develop a muscle imbalance because of that. So when you are doing balance drills or core, you know, core movements and hip mobility movements, then you're an overall well-rounded athlete, and you're working on those stabilizers. You're working on those little tiny muscles that are going to hold the big muscles together and make them stronger. Not really hold them together, but you know what I mean. You're going to make them a little bit stronger. So, you know, types of exercises you can do. I mean, really just balancing on one leg, close your eyes, and then progress to that balance on a ball, like a Bosu ball, one of those half domes. And then you can progress from that half dome and actually balance on a stability ball. I can't stand on a stability ball, but I can definitely just go on one, you know, straddle one with my knees, and, you know, I'm working on my balance that way, working on my hips, working on my core. So anything you do with a balance ball or stability ball is going to engage the core and work on balance.
Well, that's an all-in-one type of device you can use, whether it's a full ball or the half dome ball.
Right.
You can also do it with in a push-up position.
Right. Just going in a plank. If you turn that blue dome over and then you hold onto it with the dome side facing down, you're kind of working on movements like that in a plank position, which is also going to get your core area.
And a lot of these core,
as well as your hips.
And a lot of this has to do with, like, maybe even your balance in the water or your position on the bike to avoid fatigue, right?
Exactly. You know, there's hip rotation in swimming. So working on that rotation, those rotation movements, those core movements, you know, you're going to engage that better when you swim, and you're going to have better body balance in the water. As well as trail running involves a lot of balance. Running in general involves a lot of balance, because all running is stepping on one leg, stepping on the other leg. So you're constantly balancing on one leg when you run. So of course you should work on that. Strengthen your ankles and calves as well.
How about the injury prevention method behind all of this? Because I know if I'm you like talk about going forward and backwards a lot of time, but let's say in a race or in an activity, you happen to jolt or have to juke what left or right. If you're not strong enough, boom, couldn't that be the weakest link and now you're out?
Oh, exactly. You know, how many times have I heard people twisting their ankles? You know, just because, or they're playing a game. You're in your off season. You want to go play a game of basketball or go play a game of football or something like that you're not used to doing. If you're weak, then jolting and moving for that ball, you could easily be injured and you could be out of your sport because you're doing a game sport that you're not accustomed to doing. So for just an athlete in general, core strength training to me means injury prevention. They go hand in hand.
I can think about that even like if I were to play basketball in the off season, my knees and joints aren't prepared for that because all I've done is go in a straight line the last 6 to 8 months.
Exactly. I can go hike. I can go do, you know, a 10-hour event like an Ironman, and then go for a 2-hour hike up and down a mountain, and I'm so sore because I'm using muscles that I don't use when I swim, bike, and run. Swimming, biking, and running, you would think hits all the target muscles, but they don't hit those little stabilizers that often can become very weak and sore if you don't do movements to target them.
I know something you are a big proponent of and actually teach it is that's TRX,
TRX, yeah.
those strap type of workouts. Would that also be something you can incorporate?
Yeah, TRX is great. TRX, for those who aren't familiar, it's two straps that usually hang down from a wall, and you can target all your major muscle groups: chest, back, biceps, triceps, shoulders, legs, while engaging your core at the same time. So all the movements that you can do on a TRX, you're always focused on that core engagement. So I think that's a very functional way to create that injury prevention and core hip program that we're talking about.
If you have a question for Wendy, use the hashtag AskCoachWendy on Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube. Wendy, great stuff. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
What is the longest time you can sit in a plank position or hold yourself in a plank position? Position yourself now in a push-up. So that is a one example of a plank. So you're in that push-up position, your back is flat, your arms are pretty much locked, and you're holding that position. How long can you do that? How many sets of 1 minutes can you go? Can you go longer? I think the record is like, I don't know, like 23. No, it can't be 23 hours. It's obscene how long someone can hold themselves in a plank position. You can even break it down by going down to your forearms and holding that position. You can go from your forearms to a full push-up position, back and forth, and holding that. There's ways you can lift your left leg, right leg, and it's just incredible. And it is really good stuff for your core. And as you know, as a swimmer, even as a runner and a cyclist, the stronger your core is, the better balanced you are as an athlete. So Greg's going to talk to us now about core strength and some of the things that you can do to strengthen your core.
Why is it important for a triathlete to have a strong core in all of swimming, biking, and running?
Oh, core is huge. Core is injury prevention. I mean, you're using so much of your core to swim. You know, get your rotation properly. You're running. You got to have good, strong upper body core work to keep your form. On the bike, you're hunched over those aero bars, and you got to have a strong core and back. And if not, those things will start to fatigue, and eventually they give out. And I know I've experienced that when my core work has suffered. So.
What kind of exercises would you suggest to new triathletes or even seasoned triathletes to strengthen their core off the bike or out of the water or off the track?
Well, you know, a core set involves a lot of plank. I think plank is huge. It's you can do front plank, side plank, you know, variables, leg ins and outs, arms up and down. I mean, anything you can do to stress your body more in those positions are going to engage more core muscles, and those core muscles are going to help stabilize you throughout all the events. You know, swimming, I know when I'm lacking on my core, my swim starts to suffer. You don't have that quick snap in the hips as much. And, you know, on the run, at the 20-mile mark of the run, you haven't got good core, your body's going to hunch over and your back's going to tighten up. And, yeah, it can get miserable. So I try to put core work throughout the whole entire season. It's not an on-season, off-season. It's all year round.
So give me an example of a core workout in terms of time. Let's say I'm a beginner triathlete and I haven't done any core. Is it a matter of 13 seconds in that push-up position, you know, for five times? How long is too long, and what's an appropriate time to start doing core or for each core workout?
You know, like if you're going to start doing a plank, I mean, start with 15-20 seconds, hold each position, and then move up from there. I know when I've taken my time off, my times that I'm holding plank are a lot less than they were when I decided to take time off. So yeah, start out with 15 seconds on, you know, on your forearm, keep your back flat and your hips up. You don't want to have a high hip. You want your hips all even with your back. You don't let that sag. You start getting a saggy hip, you're going to injure your back. So do that for 15 seconds and then switch to your side. So you're on your side. If you want to get crazy, bring your foot off of your other, so you're kind of like your legs are in a V shape, and then hold that for 15 seconds. Go back to the front for 15. Go to the opposite side for 15. There's a lot of different variables to do it. Stuff on a balance ball is great. You know, anything that you can do to engage that core and keep it turned on is definitely going to be a must. So.
Are we talking about five sets of 15 seconds per position?
The way I do my core is I start with the front and I hold it for, let's say I'm doing mine for a minute, and then I'll do the side one, and I'll do back to the middle, back to the side, and I'll end. So that, let's say that would be what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes, 5 minutes of straight planking without stopping. You're just switching your positions. You can do one set of that until you feel comfortable that you want to increase your time. Say you want to go for a minute and a half in each. So I just do one set, but then increase my time every time I do it, trying to make it a little bit longer, trying to put that stress and get those muscles engaged longer and longer.
Would you be doing core workouts in conjunction with your training, or are they during your, quote, off days?
I try to incorporate core after every run. Use it, you know, you got your cool down, and then you're doing some of your stretching. After you get some of your stretching done, then, I mean, you're right there. You're already on the ground, sweaty. Let's just do, you know, 10 minutes of core work, you know, some plank, some crunches. I'm not a fan of the behind the head, bend your neck forward, because you start doing that wrong, you're going to tweak your neck. So, I mean, there's ways to do a crunch, not sit up, that's not going to be detrimental to your back and neck.
All right. If you got a question for Coach Gallagher, use the hashtag AskCoachGallagher on Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube. Thanks, Coach.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Our resident former college tennis player and professional triathlete Kelly Phil now joins us now, and she's going to talk about some strength and power training. Maybe some of you are familiar with plyometrics. I loved these exercises back in high school. One of my, I don't know, not a specialty, but I really enjoyed doing that. These box jumps where you bound, both feet planted, shoulder width apart, and you thrust your arms up and you land on a box that might be 36 inches high or 24 inches high. Then you turn around and go back down. And then you can repeat that process. There's also the rapid fire of jumping up, tapping the box, coming back down, and then exploding back up again. There's box jumps where you're bounding left and right over a box or over a bar. These are examples of plyometrics that I loved doing growing up, and it really helped out with quad strength and lower leg strength, one of my favorites. Anyways, so Kelly's going to talk about some strength and power training ideas that you can incorporate or try at any time of the year.
And Kelly, as triathletes, a lot of our movements are straight forward and back, but yet strength and power training can have great benefits. Why and how?
Yeah, so it's actually one of the things that most triathletes neglect during the season, because we're training essentially for three different events, and we all have limited window of time on a daily basis between family and job. And strength is normally the first thing to go, but I think it's one of the most important elements of getting to that race, not only healthy, but being able to have strength to finish the endurance event. So there's so many benefits from strength training, and you can implement something, 10-15 minutes a day. It doesn't have to take a lot of time. Whether or not you're using a TRX, you're at home having a little band and doing hip and glute exercises. But so often, as athletes, we're just doing the same repetitive motions all the time that we're neglecting certain muscle groups. So I would say 90% of athletes, runners, have, very weak glutes. And so what you have to do is specific glute movements because, you're going to be able to finish the race so much stronger if you have like a strong core, and whether or not it's just simple band exercise or simple core work after a run. It doesn't have to take that much time, and it's important to do not only during the season, but in the off season, you can make bigger gains and focus on, I would say, a little bit more heavy lifting and get after, some bigger weights in the off season, whether or not it's, multi movements like deadlifts or squats are another awesome exercise that will really help that glute strength that's lacking in runners and triathletes. And so often, cyclists are quad dominant and they don't have, the hamstring strength. So, and a lot of times, we just focus on just our abs and that six pack, and you neglect your back muscles, which I'm a big fan of making sure, you have that equal strength in your quads and in your hamstrings and in your entire core as well, because that's how injuries happen. And so it's a great way to, just prevent injuries by adding some simple strength and core exercises into your weekly training plan.
So you're talking about avoiding those imbalances in our muscles by having something strong on this part of your body and something strong on the opposite part of that body.
Exactly. It's the best way to avoid those imbalances. And you can hit the gym and, hit the free weights, hit the machines, or you can just come up with a simple routine from home with just a simple band. And I love the TRX too, and because it works your core for, every move. But I'm also a big fan of going to the gym and hitting it heavy too. And, having one of my trainers spot me too, and that makes a big difference, I think, at the end of the Ironman. Since I started lifting heavy, I've never had any issues with cramping or muscle fatigue at the end of an Ironman. And prior to, implementing a more routine strength training plan, I would always feel like, oh, my left hamstring, kind of starting on the verge of cramping, or my right glute. But being able to have a little bit more balance throughout the body makes the difference for that final 10K of an Ironman.
What about the athletes we see in the gym that are pumping a lot of iron, lifting heavy, and we're afraid that we don't want to get too bulky as triathletes because the lighter athlete by kilograms or pounds is actually a faster athlete. So the more muscle we put on, I'm afraid that people are going to say, oh, I don't want to get too big because I'm going to go slower. I don't want to pack on muscle.
Yeah, and that's a great question. But actually, your body burns more calories for every pound of muscle that you have. So basically, your metabolism is going to get faster by just having more muscle on you. So I think it's more about, being lean and what your percentage of, muscle mass to fat ratio is as well. And that makes all the difference. Like that lean lean mass. And so I think, you know, that you definitely want to make sure you are periodizing your strength training plan throughout the season, because there are times where it's more important to, you know, lift heavier, and then other times, you know, when you don't want to be lifting quite as heavy too. So you have to make sure it is correctly periodized throughout, you know, the training season and training cycle. But as endurance athletes, you are doing a lot of swimming, biking, and running too. So I don't think that, you know, you're going to necessarily be, you know, bulking up because of the wide variety of cardio that you are doing in as well as with the strength training too. But it's just important to, you know, keep into consideration that, you know, the more muscle you have, the more your body's going to be burning on a daily basis.
Great tips about strength and power training for triathletes. Thanks, Kelly. If you have a question for Kelly, use the hashtag AskCoachPhil now on Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube. All right, Kelly, we'll talk to you next time. Thanks.
Bye.
Sand volleyball players are known to have this colorful tape wrapped around their shoulders or knees. Have you seen that before? Maybe you've seen swimmers with this colorful stuff around their shoulders. Maybe a runner having something over their knee or around their kneecap, or someone wrapping up around their ankle, or even on the back of a calf. I remember seeing Andy Potts a few years ago on the Kona Pier before the start of the race. He had pulled out, he was planning on racing in Kona. This must have been 2014. And he had pulled out like the day before because he was having some calf issues. Well, what these athletes are using is called Kinesio tape. And this tape has, it's not a miracle tape, it's not a nothing medicine related about it, but it has, if it's applied correctly, can alleviate soreness, can pull out a bruise, can help you continue on as a, let's say, a powerful Band-Aid, just to hold things together until you can give yourself some more rest. Dr. Brian Mather, the owner of the Spokane Chiropractic and Sports Injury Clinic, talks to me about Kinesio tape and really educates me on how this stuff really works. Take a listen.
What's the deal with Kinesio tape? Is it effective, and should we look into it more?
Yeah, Kinesio tape is very effective. It's been around for a long time, and it really became prominent nationally during the Beijing Olympics. Kinesio tape donated 10,000 rolls of tape to the U.S. Olympic team. So you saw Kerry Walsh, the sand volleyball player, with it on her shoulder for the first time, and it's kind of exploded since then. It works brilliantly well. We're able to tape our athletes that have injuries and keep them training in a lot of cases. So really what Kinesio tape does is it's buying you time. It's a way to take an injury, and instead of resting the athlete or making them take time off from their sport, we often can help heal the injury faster so we can keep them training, and we minimize the downside to taking that time off or the downside to those injuries. For an example, if you sprained an ankle and that ankle swelled up and ballooned, you typically would have to immobilize that ankle, and you would lose probably close to a week or 10 days of training. With Kinesio tape, in that particular case, you tape it a very specific way, and it helps to pull the inflammation out of there very rapidly so that we can get the range of motion back into that ankle quickly so that those tissues don't tighten up, and then we have much less work to do once that inflammation is gone to get everything functioning so we can get that athlete back to training. So instead of they're taking a week off, sometimes you're taking a day or two off, or in some cases, you don't have to take any time off at all. And it's a way to keep you training in a safe way. We can help protect that area of injury so that you can keep training long and you don't lose time.
It's like a temporary fix, a powerful Band-Aid, per se.
It is a powerful Band-Aid. And a lot of people ask, what's the medicine that's in that tape? There is no medicine in the tape whatsoever. It's based on stimulating the nerve receptors that are embedded in your skin. So it stimulates the receptors in your skin, and those receptors communicate with your brain and your musculoskeletal system, and it allows us to help, I don't want to say control the environment, but it helps us influence what's going on in that body part to achieve the goals that we're trying to achieve.
So once you take it off, you're back to where you were when you were feeling the problem in the first place?
Yeah, to a certain extent. In some cases, we're repeating the taping process, especially when athletes will tape you and then you go out and train and you will sweat and you'll break that tape down from the activity. So we may have to retape it and we may have to change the way that we tape it as you move through the different phases of healing. We would have different principles that we were after, so we would modify the way that we tape it and the styles that we tape it. There's a lot of YouTube videos out there on how to tape different body parts, and they're quite effective. But understanding really how to tape effectively, you can be so much more effective in the way you tape if you understand the principles that you're after and you do it correctly. So I always recommend that you seek out someone that is trained in kinesiotaping, a clinician that's trained in it, because I believe you're going to get much better results than if you're looking at YouTube videos at home and just taping yourself. While you'll get some benefit from that, you'll get a much greater benefit if you have the taping done by a trained professional.
And what body parts are most commonly targeted with kinesiotape?
I would say shoulders, backs, and lower extremities, knees, calves, ankles. They seem to be the ones that we do the most taping on. But honestly, if you look into the history of kinesiotaping, it's used for pretty much any ailment you can imagine. There is a taping procedure for it to try to assist that condition.
And in your rehab protocol, how do you use that as a chiropractor?
Whenever I am trying to speed the healing process up, I'm going to try to use kinesiotape. For example, yesterday we had somebody come in and they took a bad fall and had a significant bruise on their hip and they could barely walk. And so I taped the hip in a way to try to pull the bruise out, try to pull that inflammation out as fast as possible so that I can get their mobility back and I can start to control that environment. This particular player is a hockey player and is unable to skate at the moment. And this could often be a 2-week process before we can even get them back on the ice. So they'll lose a lot of conditioning. So if I can get that hip mobilized and get them back on the ice in 2 or 3 days, they're not going to lose their conditioning, so they can start getting back to training. And hopefully we get them back to competitive hockey in a very short window of time.
So you really need to stress the application process of the tape, and you can do it wrong. Could you hurt yourself, or I guess it'd just be a waste of money at that point?
Correct. I don't know that you would hurt yourself, because when you tape somebody incorrectly, you overstimulate something and it usually takes their symptoms and it sends them in the opposite direction. So the symptoms will go off the chart very quickly. I have taped people incorrectly in the office when I was first learning how to do it. By the time a patient got to the front desk to make an appointment, her leg was going numb and tingling. So we literally brought her right back in, pulled the tape off, and within 10 seconds, she was right back to where we started, and then we retaped her correctly and she did great. So usually if you tape it incorrectly, you'll either get no result or you'll get a massive exacerbation of your symptoms. So you just peel the tape off very quickly and it undoes that. So you can't really hurt yourself with the tape, assuming that you take the tape off. But you can just be there's just a lack of effectiveness if you don't quite know what you're doing.
I sure hope you found some value in today's episode of Balance and Flexibility, Core Strength, Power Training, and of course, kinesiotape from our guests, Wendy Mader, Greg Gallagher, Kelly Filnow, and Dr. Brian Mather. I found it helpful. I hope these are useful, applicable things that you can add to your daily training regimen. And if you do have an injury of some kind, or maybe some aches and pains or a deep bruise, that kinesiotape could work. If it does, let me know. Share it with us. Go to Facebook Endurance Hour and leave some comments about how you found this useful or helpful, or your experience with these type of exercises. I hope you enjoyed this. It was kind of a themed episode. So that was good, I hope. Coming up next episode, on episode 147, another theme all about swimming. So you can skip it if you don't want to listen to swimming stuff, or you can refer back to it. But on episode 147, we talk about mastering open water swimming, swim gear and drills, and how to avoid and fix what they call swimmer's shoulder. Yeah, that overuse issues that you may experience in your shoulder, and how to avoid, not avoid, but I guess prevent it or fix it if you do experience some shoulder pain from all that freestyling you're doing. There is something you can do. It's called dry land workouts. that'll come up next episode of 147. Until then, I'm Dave Erickson. Thanks so much for listening and supporting us. You can follow us on endurancehour.com, on our Facebook page, and maybe just share us with a friend. You don't have to support us financially or anything like that. Don't give us any ratings unless you want to on iTunes. That's fine. We're not in it for that. We're in it to educate, inform, provide you with some valuable information as an endurance athlete. So maybe just share this episode with somebody if you like. Until next time, I'm Dave Erickson. We'll see you next time.
Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere. Life's begun, nights are warm and the days are young.